time for Dictionary of Sydney, one of my favourite segments. I used to love listening to it with Nick, and now I get to sit in the hot seat, so I'm incredibly excited. Peter Hobbins joins me now. Peter, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Great to be here again, Tess.
So what are we chatting about this week?
I thought this week we'd talk about Nazis in Sydney in the Second World War.
Casually, just casually.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a push. Actually, what I'm talking about is the divided loyalties of French colonials from New Caledonia and Indochina, effectively Vietnam, after France fell to Germany in 1940. And when these French colonials turned up in Sydney in October 1940, they were really not sure who they should be loyal to. Should they be loyal to the government that had surrendered to the Germans and was collaborating with them? Or should they be loyal to Free France under General Charles de Gaulle in order to fight for the liberation of what was technically their homeland? But of course, if they were from New Caledonia or Vietnam, they had mixed loyalties about being colonial subjects.
You can see how that would have been a difficult decision, I guess. You can see the pros and cons for each side. Obviously not condoning Nazis, but you can see their point of view, I guess.
Absolutely. And I think one of the big issues, so if you've seen the recent film Darkest Hour about the fall of France in June 1940, what they don't go on to show is that in July 1940, once France had surrendered to Germany, there was this concern across the British Empire about who are the French loyal to. And so the British in July 1940 actually attacked the French naval fleet in Algeria. And that meant that people in France and the colonies who had felt maybe they were sympathetic to Britain suddenly felt even more mixed about whose side they should be on. And that's what played out in Sydney a few months later.
And so how long did it take for them to, I guess, eventually choose a side?
It often ended up being chosen for them. So the story that I'm interested in today is a French ship called the Pierre Loti, which had sailed out of Indochina, Vietnam effectively, in September 1940 and gone to New Caledonia. It arrived there just in time for a new governor to arrive in New Caledonia, Henri Sauteau. And listeners, just imagine for a few moments that I can actually pronounce French reasonably well. Sauteau arrives in September 1940 and says, right, from now on, we're not going to collaborate with the homeland regime. We're going to be a free French colony. So what they did then was they kicked out all the Vichyists, which was the name for the collaborators, put them on the Pierre Loti, which was going back to Vietnam, except that it came first to Brisbane and then pulled up into Sydney Harbour in October 1940. And that created this big problem of who were these people, you know. How did the Australian authorities, who are after all part of the British Empire, how did they deal with people who wanted to be part of their homeland's government but didn't want to fight against the Germans either? That made it a really tricky decision.
And which way did they end up going?
It got very complicated. Basically, so these people are French citizens, and then most of them were actually from France. Some of them were from the colony. So the officers on the ship and a lot of the people who'd been kicked out of New Caledonia arrived in Sydney, and they weren't prisoners of war, and they weren't enemy. So they were just classed as aliens. They weren't British subjects. So most of them actually put up in hotels around Sydney.
Oh.
The crew on board the ship, who were what were called Tonkinese, which basically means Vietnamese sailors, and also Lascars, which means effectively Arabs, were sent out to the old quarantine station at North Head near Manly. That was all fine until the Australian government worked out what to do with them. But one of the problems was that these Vichyist collaborationists were effectively Nazis, or some of them were, and they were wandering around free in Sydney in late 1940 and early 1941 when Britain was desperately trying to beat the Germans. And in the end, the Free French in Sydney, of whom there were a few, started pushing for these collaborationists to be kicked out of Australia as well. And eventually that happened, but it was about 6 months later. So for about 6 months in late 1940, early 1941, there were French people, particularly a guy called Jean de Boisrieu, who was one of the, again, apologies for my French, he was one of the officers off the Pierre Loti. He was classed as being a rabid Nazi. So he was actually not only in support of his new homeland's government, but actually was seen to be a pro-Nazi, as was the Consul General to Australia, Jean Tremollet.
That's, the rabid Nazism. See, when you think of World War II and, Nazism, you don't think of Sydney. You don't sort of imagine that they made it all the way down here. But so for 6 months, they were just wandering around.
And being put up by the Australian government in hotels around Sydney. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's even worse. So they eventually did get kicked out, as you said.
Most of them by about mid-1941 had been sent on Australian ships back to French Indochina. Now, that was another complicated story because after France fell in June 1940, in September 1940, the Japanese basically walked into the northern half of Vietnam. And by mid-1941, they took over all of Vietnam. And that's actually one of the reasons they were able to attack Malaya and Singapore in December 1941. But through that period, in fact, through all of the Second World War, the French government in Indochina effectively also collaborated with the Japanese as well. So you can see how there's these incredibly complicated loyalties going on about if you're French and you're not captured by the Germans in 1940, whose side are you on? And is it better to collaborate and keep your country running? Or is it better to go overseas and fight to liberate your country and your colonies again? And so most of these French Vichyists, or the collaborationists who were in Australia, were sent back to Indochina in 1941.
And so we are speaking specifically about the Pierre Loti. Is that how I say it?
We
don't speak French.
Yes, that's right. Neither of us will pretend that we can speak French, but Pierre Loti was the name of the ship that had come to Australia. It ended up being taken over by the British and used for their own merchant marine. And one of the issues was when the British took it over in November 1940, they said to all the officers and all the Vietnamese and Arab crew on the ship, "We'll give you a chance. If you like, you can sign this declaration saying that I'm loyal to Britain, I'm loyal to France, and I'll keep sailing on this ship and be paid to do so." And not one of them did. They all said, "We're not anti-British, but we don't agree with the Free French regime, and we're really not sure whose side we're on, so we're not going to sail on our ship anymore."
No way! Yeah. That's hilarious. So if anybody did want to find out a bit more, it's an absolutely fascinating story. Where can they head?
I wrote a blog post about the Pierre Loti story on the Australian National Maritime Museum's website in November last year. So if you just search Pierre Loti, L-O-T-I, and maybe North Head, which is where there's a carving left by one of the Vietnamese sailors in 1940, you should be able to pin it down from there.
Peter, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Pleasure, Tess.
That was Peter Hobbins, their Dictionary of Sydney, of course. Same time next week, 8:15 on a Wednesday.